Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has promised, I am coming again that you might be with me. Amen. As was mentioned earlier in our worship, we'll be focusing our attention and meditating on the word recorded for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, in the opening verses of that chapter, Paul commends the Thessalonians for their sound faith, the faith that clung to Jesus even though they were being persecuted. It is now the verses following that introduction that we focus on. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. My dear brothers and sisters, waiting the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, over the past days, these words and our preparation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ have truly hit home. I've received many phone calls of people who were moved to hospice care, which means they are but a step into glory, a step into leaving this world to being with Jesus. Many of them have. They've aged anywhere from 17 and 18 years old to 85, all of them being called to glory. This past week, we also had what was called the Blood Moon. It was a full eclipse of the moon that happened, well, early in the morning. But they call it the Blood Moon. Well, coming from the prophet Joel that's talked about the moon will be turned to blood at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus in our gospel talked about there being wars and pestilence and issues and problems in society. North Korea threatens war if things don't go their way. We know that in the Ukraine, Russian soldiers are being killed by the scores because maybe to some degree they don't have the right training as well. We see all this, we hear all this, and we have to say, yes, if these are the signs of the end times, then come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. And that's important for us to know, that we actually can invite Jesus to come quickly. Last judgment, yes, it is a judgment that's harsh and stern. But it's also a judge who is coming, who we know, who loved us and sacrificed for us. And this is what we're going to focus on today. As we focus on last judgment, as we focus on the end times, let us not focus on them with fear. As if, oh no, we dare not be around when that happens. I don't want to be here. But let us focus on it with comfort and hope and confidence. Because we know Christ is coming. He is coming and will judge those who do not know him or believe in him. But he'll bring to himself you and me and all who believe in him. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Paul was talking to the Thessalonians. We're not sure what the persecution was. We're not sure if it was harsh persecution, such as being imprisoned or maybe threatened with death. But they were standing firm in Christ. They didn't just give up on it. And that's easy enough to do with our faith too, isn't it? When we keep constantly getting lambasted by this temptation and that temptation and people saying that we're all wrong and persecuting our faith, persecuting our trust in Jesus, sometimes we might just be tempted to quit. We're told that fatigue makes cowards of us all. And sometimes we become fatigued about the challenges we have to face. Challenges not unlike the Thessalonians had to face, but challenges you and I face daily as we walk our walk with Jesus. But what are we told here? All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. When he comes in judgment, we're not going to be saying, well, it's not fair. I need more time. Help me, Lord. No, he's given us time. He's given us his word. He has given us the truth. He has said, now follow me, believe in me, and all this will be given to you. When God comes, we're told his judgment is right. And when he comes, we're also told you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Yes, counted worthy, because we know what Jesus has done and believe in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Don't give up on that. Don't have so much fatigue that you say, is it worth it? Is it worth it to me to just go about my life and let bygones be bygones and let everybody get away with whatever they're doing? No! Under persecution especially then, hold firm to what Christ has done. While we were still sinners, we were told once in Scripture, Christ died for us. He did that even though he didn't deserve it. So when he comes again in all his glory, as it's told here, when he is revealed in blazing fire with his powerful angels, we don't have to say, oh, no, no, no. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, what a great day that'll be. But it won't be for everyone. For his God, we're told, is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. God is just. He will not be mocked. He will not be made fun of. He will not take second place to anyone else's God or what we believe is God or to ourselves. He takes second place to no one. He is the creator of all things. He is your creator and mine. He has a right to demand whatever he will. And we follow him. There'll be those that don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe he created it. Let's say it just happened by chance. This world could not have happened by chance. The things in such wonderful order did not happen by chance. Someone powerful and great, not intelligent design as some would like to get by so they don't have to call him God. This was God who created things. And when his creation sinned, when his creation disobeyed, God is just. Those sins are to be paid for. Your sins, my sins. That's important to know. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Now, I don't say that to scare you or to scare anyone. I can't scare anyone into heaven. Neither can you, neither can anyone else. We don't get scared into heaven. We should be scared of hell, however, where there's an eternal punishment for each of us, separated from God, separated from his love and his providence and his care. That we should be afraid of. Now, there are some that will say, well, I'm not afraid of it because I don't believe it exists. Now you're being a fool. God tells us it exists. God tells us that that is what is waiting for those who do not believe in his love and his power to save. In these end times, in this last judgment, as we see the signs all being fulfilled, every day new signs being fulfilled, earthquakes we're told and pestilence in the gospel reading for the day. We're told of all the troubles that are going to be here. We see them. They're all fulfilled. Now, are we going to say it's just not going to happen? Or maybe we say, I've got time. I think of the people who die in the tragic car accidents lately. They probably thought they had time as well. They probably thought they had a whole lifetime ahead of them. I can put off for tomorrow what I just don't want to get at today. There's no time to put off eternity, because Christ will come when we least expect it. He tells us he's going to come like a thief in the night. Now, if we knew when the thief was coming, we'd be prepared for it. But no, we don't know when the thief is coming. That's judgment day. And so for us, what a comfort it is as we see these signs fulfilled and know this isn't permanent for us. This isn't what God had intended, that we're going to stay in this sin-filled world forever. No, he's got something much better prepared for us. And last judgment is that time when we will step into that glory that he has prepared for us, that he has given to us, a glory and a gift that we haven't earned and we definitely didn't deserve, but a glory and grace and peace, which he gives to us as a gift. Which tells us what? That you and I have work to do. When we see all the things going on beside us and around us, when we see these things, and we even have loved ones who are following their own thinking, following the thinking of all the ideas and opinions of others, not listening to the Lord, living a life that is contrary to that, what is waiting for them? The Lord is coming too, but they won't see him as this friendly judge who knows them and died for them. They'll see him as the stern judge who says, "Where were you when? And why didn't you believe?" That's a scary thought. And it's a scary enough thought that we should be sitting there, what can we do for these people who do not know Jesus Christ? Well, pray for them for sure. But do we reach out to them? Do we make the concerted effort that the love of Jesus Christ is evident in our life? Can people see the love and grace that is ours? Can they see it in our lives? And if not, why not? What do we have that God hasn't given us? What can we do that God hasn't shown us the way? In the days of last judgment, Paul says, he'll punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified with his holy people. They will be punished with an everlasting destruction. I know with all the pandemic, there's always illness. There's not necessarily a pandemic season anymore. It just seems always it's a pandemic time. And now in the fall, you come into flu season. And sometimes flu comes with a sore throat and things. Oh, there's nothing harder than a sore throat, is there? Oh, you don't want to swallow. You don't want to drink anything because it's going to hurt all the way down. Oh, but what do we know about the sore throat? Oh, that sore throat that hurts, even when saliva's got to go down, will eventually be gone. We'll get better. As a matter of fact, we won't even know when it happened. One time we'll have a sore throat, and the next time we'll swallow, and say, "Oh, my sore throat's gone." That's not the way it's going to be for the punishment God has in store. Imagine, no hope of relief. No hope of freedom from the pain and the suffering. To not know the Lord leads to destruction that we wouldn't even want. And truthfully speaking, we wouldn't even want it for our enemies. And God has spared us from that and given us the opportunity to share that love as well. Because he goes on, he says, he will be glorified in his holy people and be marveled at among all those who have believed. When Christ comes, it's going to be a wonderful thing. In all his glory and might, we will be removed from this world filled with sin. We will be removed from the heartache and the pain and the suffering and the sorrow and the loss. We'll be removed from all that to spend a forever with Jesus our Savior. A forever with the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Think about that for a moment. Judgment is coming. Christ, Jesus, is coming. You can deny it if you want, but that doesn't change the fact he is coming. He promised it, and God keeps his promises. He is coming so that we might be included in the ones, he says, and you believe my testimony. We'll be like the Thessalonians, going through this difficult time, going through this heartache and pain. We'll be said, well done, good and faithful servant. When persecuted, when maligned, when struggling, when hurting, you held tight. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you held tight to the truth and didn't let go. And for that, welcome. Welcome to my kingdom of glory. Welcome. Hear the music. Hear the angels singing. Hear the joy that is ours. Oh, I know. We thought we knew what joy was on earth. And it could have been anything for all of us. It could have been celebrations that we had, anniversaries we celebrated. It could have been freedom from pain and getting healed and having grandchildren and having all these wonderful blessings. We thought we knew what joy was. Not even close. to the joy that awaits us in glory everlasting. Put aside all doubts. Know for a fact Jesus is coming in all his glory to receive you and me into a place of perfection, a place with no sin, where there is no more hunger or thirst or sorrow, a place of eternity with him. Oh, we rejoice for that day. We look forward to that day. I shared with someone just recently who made that step into glory, and they were excited about it. They were looking forward to it because their race was run, and now the rest was with Jesus. May that be the grace we always cherish. May that be what we live in and for, because we're not going to be saved. We're saved right now. Jesus took every one of our sins, paid for them in full on the cross. And now he gives it to us and says, here's what I have done. Believe and trust and wait for my coming. And we say, and we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may that wonderful peace of glory that God has given to us ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with Jesus in glory everlasting. Amen.